The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield's community radio, and you're listening to Stuff, a show about tips, hints, hacks, a joke or two. Listen in every Thursday morning. Here we go.
And opinions of this program are solely those of its host, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent WTBR-FM or WSBR-FM, its management, producers, or sponsors.
And that's the way we start the show. WTBR 89.7 FM every Thursday morning.
I think I am muted. I was muted.
Just a little.
That's the way to start our show, 89.7 FM WTBR. And our sister station?
WSBR 88.1.
And we thank you for listening. And I have a quote of the day. If you reach for a star, you might not get one. But you won't come up with a handful of mud either.
Who said that?
Leo Burnett. Maybe that's Carol Burnett's relative.
Might be. You might come up with a handful of mud.
I think what he's saying is, if you reach for the stars, you might not get one. But you're still reaching, right?
Yeah.
Aim high.
But you won't come up with a bunch of mud. So it will be good.
Because you're up there.
It will be good that you're trying.
The mud is down there.
Yeah. Whatever means. Okay. So today I have the riddle.
Yes.
Bev and our guest, Mary Hood, will be trying to guess the riddle. We'll do it now. We'll do it at the beginning of the second half of the show, and we'll do the answer at the end of the show, so don't shout out.
Right.
The answer, if you know.
Okay.
Paul's height is 6 feet. He's an assistant at a butcher shop. He wears size 9 shoes. What does he weigh? That's it.
Read that again.
Paul's height is 6 feet. He's an assistant at a butcher shop, and he wears a size 9 shoe. How much does he weigh? No. What does he weigh? Well, what does he weigh?
I know.
Okay.
I know.
What does he weigh? You know. They know. Wow, that was not as hard as the ones you do. What does he weigh? So I found in this book that Bev gave me, it's cool. It's a Thanksgiving dinner cheat sheet.
Ah.
And it says... Here's the list. It says 8 people, 16 people, 24 people. And it says turkey, stuffing mix, potatoes, sweet potatoes, cranberry sauce, butternut squash, Brussels sprouts, green beans, frozen cream spinach, and pie. And then you go to how many people? 8 people, 16 people, 24 people. And it tells you exactly how much of each thing you have to get for each group of people.
I want it now.
I know. Yeah. I love Thanksgiving dinner.
I do too.
It's my favorite. But you don't eat the turkey, but you eat everything else.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
There's got to be fake turkey. I've never had good fake turkey.
What have you tried?
Not enough.
Because you've not had a good one.
No.
Because I know they do faux turkey.
I'm going to be looking for it now.
Tofu turkey?
Oh, I don't want tofu turkey.
That would be awful.
Ugh.
There's got to be something. Listeners, if you happen to know of a good fake turkey, you can email us at
stuffingforus@gmail.com.
Now, we won't tell you what month it is now because you might be listening on a podcast, but we need it now.
I would really, really enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever gone out for Thanksgiving dinner?
Sure.
Yeah, I did. A couple times.
I did. We have. Yeah.
I've gone out for Christmas dinner.
Oh, I've never gone out for Christmas dinner.
I don't think I have either.
You have to reserve far in advance because nothing else is open.
Yeah.
That's right. But it is my favorite meal. But this is pretty cool. This is in a book called Good Housekeeping, Home Skills.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It tells you, and you probably can go online, but I liked that they listed all the food, and then the people, and then what you have to have. And then, of course, you need the leftovers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The leftovers are good together.
Gotta have. Yeah.
You could make a big salad like
that. That's why I don't like to go out for Thanksgiving dinner, because then there's no leftovers. Unless
right.
you can ask for them to take home.
I remember the big leg.
The big turkey leg?
Yeah.
Did you like the turkey leg?
That was my favorite part.
Did you like the skin part or the meat?
The dark meat.
You like the dark meat.
Dark meat and skin.
Skin, yeah.
Yeah.
If it's crunchy.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I know. And it's always hard when Bev and I talk about food when we do a two-hour show because we most of the time didn't eat breakfast.
Did not this morning.
What did you have?
I didn't.
You didn't?
You didn't
no.
eat anything.
I had two potato chips.
For breakfast?
That's not
How can
breakfast.
You stop at two?
I was going to be late.
Oh, you
didn't throw the bag in the car?
I was going to say, you need to put the bag in the car. Look at what she's reaching for.
Oh,
you've been holding out on us while we're sitting here and not...
Pringles!
No!
But it's only a quarter full.
Pringles.
I love Pringles.
I love Pringles.
The barbecue.
I like the original.
Barbecue
I love the
Pringles.
Original
this is
Pringles.
Sour cream.
Oh, sour cream and onion?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's so good.
Oh, I opened original. Up a can of worms like there.
Yes,
no,
you did.
It was a can of Pringles. No
can
worms.
Of Pringles. You opened up a can of Pringles. All right, my dear.
Why were young women from the Roaring Twenties called flappers?
Oh, jeez. Could be so many
reasons.
Things.
Could be anything.
The 1920s was a breakout decade for young women who just won the right to vote. The era evokes images of young flappers like the cartoon character Betty Boop, who was only 16, wildly dancing to the Charleston. They were called flappers because of the way they resembled a baby duck flapping its wings before being able to fly. Flapper is also a very old word meaning a girl too young to conceive.
And they're called flappers
because
they're too young to conceive?
That's another whole story, I think.
Yeah, well,
I think so. Yes, yes. So I have to say, my sister Patty, who we all know, was so excited this morning because she grew her very first zucchini in her life. And so she has a little zucchini. It's very small. I told her she could probably bake a slice of zucchini bread.
How do you only end up with one zucchini?
Well, I think she did an outdoor potted garden with a neighbor. So
they're
I think
like
they're
rabbits.
They're sharing, but this was the first one that actually was large enough to pick, which it wasn't huge.
Uh-huh.
It was a nice size. I don't like them when they get all seedy.
Right, right.
But she was really excited, and I'm really happy for her.
Tell us, Patty, did you eat it yet? What'd you put with it?
Yeah, what'd you put with it?
Come on, give us the breaks.
Give us the info. Have you ever had stuffed zucchini?
No.
Yes.
It's really good.
It's
you cut the zucchini in half lengthwise. This is good for a big zucchini. So you cut it lengthwise. You hollow it all out. Get all the seeds out. Some people keep all that and put it in a bowl and mix meat with it and all, and then put it back inside. Or you can make a meatloaf, or you can stuff it with vegetables. You can do anything in. It's like a canoe.
You don't have to put it back inside.
No, you don't have to.
Oh.
So you can take other vegetables and make a vegetable loaf mix and put it all inside the zucchini. And then you can put some tomato sauce on it.
Do you cook it?
And you bake it.
Yeah, and you bake it.
It's really good.
Just don't eat the peeling.
You can eat all of it.
You can eat all of it.
You can eat the peeling?
Everything.
Of a zucchini? Yes. You don't have to peel a zucchini.
It's really good.
Now, you've both eaten zucchini peeling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're alive today, so I know that you're telling me the truth.
Yeah.
You don't eat the, because you eat zucchini, right?
Yeah. When you make zucchini bread, you shred the whole thing.
I take the...
But you peel it?
Oh, it's edible. It's like cucumber skin. It's edible.
You can eat cucumber skin?
Yes.
I wouldn't eat the waxy ones.
You have to wash it.
An English cucumber, you don't peel them.
No.
You don't peel an English cucumber.
No, I'm so happy for you, Bev.
Oh, my goodness. So I got new food to try.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, it's wonderful.
I'll listen to my mother again.
All right. What else do you have, my friend?
Well, I thought it was your turn.
Is it my turn? You want to add some curb appeal to your house? Sure you do.
Curb appeal?
Yeah. It's really simple. And, you know, with my job... I try to make it really simple for people to add curb appeal or do anything in their house before they list it with me. Mm-hmm. And I don't want them to spend a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Redo your front door, which means just paint.
Yep.
Highlight your door's detail. So if your door has a trim, paint that a lighter color. Hang a flower basket out there or put flowers around your front door.
Yep.
Then they go into the house. Deep clean the exterior, replace your gutters. But to make your door look nice, and even like this picture. So there's a picture here of a door, and they have a step. So if you have a step that's kind of unsightly, you get an indoor-outdoor scatter rug and put that right outside the door.
And hope it's not winter.
Right. Well, yeah, now you're on a whole nother path. Yeah, and people even hang signs on the outside of their houses. You've probably seen those. It says, welcome.
Please buy my home.
Yeah, please buy my home. That would actually be really cute. Please buy my home. Oh, I love it. Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's really simple.
How did Valentine... Sorry. How did Valentine become the patron saint of lovers?
Oh. Valentine was supposedly a saint? Like a person?
Patron saint of lovers.
Valentine was a person.
Okay. I don't know.
I forgot the story. I knew the story, but I forgot it.
In AD 270, the mad Roman emperor Claudius II outlawed marriage because he believed married men made for bad soldiers. Ignoring the emperor, Bishop Valentine, he was actually a bishop, continued to marry young lovers in secret until his disobedience was discovered and he was sentenced to death. As legend has it, he fell in love with the jailer's blind daughter, and through a miracle, he restored her sight.
Oh my gosh.
Really?
On his way to execution, he left her a farewell note ending, "From your Valentine."
Oh, but she can't read it.
I never heard that.
He restored her sight.
Oh,
Is that where the expression came from, love is blind?
Well,
I just thought maybe
that's where the expression "from your Valentine" came from.
Wow.
Maybe.
I never knew that.
I heard a different story, but I had heard a different legend. So we don't know which one, really.
Could be anything,
Is Valentine that little naked thing with the arrow?
That's Cupid. The cherub.
No, that's Cupid.
Oh, that's Cupid. Cupid. That's right, that's Cupid.
With an arrow.
Mm. Cupid with an arrow, and that was a song. Cupid.
Yeah. Draw back your bow.
Oh, well. Okay. Hey. Okay. So I'm trying to find some other cool things to talk about. Pigeons can tell the difference between a Picasso and a Monet, you know.
Pigeons?
Mm-hmm.
The birds?
Mm-hmm. In a 1995 study, it shows that the birds can differentiate between the two artists.
How do they know?
Did
they ask them? Pigeons must talk.
Maybe they poop on one. Or they peck on one.
That's it. They didn't tell you how.
How do you know? How do they know which one they're pecking on?
They just know.
That's wrong.
Pigeons are so dirty. They're dirty birds.
But they're fun to watch.
All birds are filthy.
No.
Well, they're dirty.
No, I mean
germs.
They are dirty. They poop everywhere. I've had birds.
Well, that doesn't mean it's on them.
I'm not blaming them. I absolutely love birds. I do.
Well, when they poop like that, it goes on something else, so it's not on them.
It's on newspaper.
It's on newspaper and stuff.
Not dirty.
If we put newspaper around our yards, the birds would poop on the newspaper and not on anything else because they know. All right.
Okay.
During medieval times, most people could neither read nor write, and even those who could sign their names were required to follow it with an X, symbolizing the cross of St. Andrew, or the contract would be invalid. Those who couldn't write their names still had to end the contract with the X to make it legal. To prove their intention, all were required to kiss the cross, which through time is how the X became associated with a lover's kiss.
XO.
XO.
Hugs and kisses.
Hugs and kisses, yeah.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
I think an X is a legal signature.
It is.
I've never had anyone put an X, but I've had signatures that are almost nothing. Like a squiggle.
I know.
You can sign when you sign the screen for something.
Anything.
You can sign anything.
I've actually.
It's terrible. You can
done
sign
a
anything.
Squiggle. I one time, and it's funny because I'm going to read something about Mickey Mouse. I actually did Mickey Mouse one time. I signed Mickey Mouse, and I thought, I wonder if they're going to notice anything.
Nothing was said,
no,
huh?
No, I don't think that's right.
Isn't that crazy?
I'm always worried about if they could tell what the letters are.
Yeah, nope, don't care.
Okay.
So I will tell you that Mickey, the people who did the voices for Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse.
They were a married couple, weren't they?
They were.
Were they really?
They got married.
Oh.
Russie Taylor was Minnie, and Wayne Alwine was Mickey, and they got married in 1991.
Ooh, recently.
Quite a long time after they started doing the voices.
Were they the originals?
I don't know. That's a good question. But can you imagine what that wedding was like?
Oh, my God. Mickey.
Really? That's crazy.
I wonder if they wore costumes.
That'd be crazy. I don't know.
With a big lollipop.
Oh, no.
I'm thinking of Betty Boop now. Oh, flapping like chicken. I've gone over the edge.
Way over the edge.
Okay. Why is embracing and kissing called spooning?
Oh, because when two spoons are together, they spoon.
Anyway.
I don't think that's the answer.
You know, they fit. They fit together like a puzzle.
Spooning may be an old-fashioned word, but it still means cuddling. Mm-hmm. This use of the word comes from Wales, where in order to ensure that a young suitor kept his hands off their daughter, her parents required that he carve a wooden spoon while courting. Some of these spoons were quite creative and elaborate, which gave evidence of the young couple's continuing virtue. The Scots might have considered this custom after an 1868 study revealed that 90% of Scottish brides were pregnant the days of their weddings.
Ninety percent.
Whoa!
So the carving was supposed to prevent
sex.
Yeah. Really? Because they were busy carving the spoon. They had to get the spoon done.
They had to, when they came to visit and to see each other, they had to stay apart from each other, and he would work on his spoon.
He'd work on his spoon.
What a date. It'd be, you'd want to talk to him, and he'd say, I can't talk to you right now. I'm concentrating on the carving.
Spoon.
I'm sorry.
I'm doing the spoon.
I'm so sorry. Now, I always thought...
Probably why mothers ran around with a wooden spoon.
With a wooden spoon.
With their kids. I don't know.
I thought chastity belts were used for that.
Actually, chastity belts were not ever...
A thing.
They were not.
It's not chastity.
There was never such a thing.
Really?
As a chastity belt.
There was nothing. Really?
That was made up.
Really? Fake news.
Yep.
Wow.
Really? I didn't know.
Well, that's
that.
Kind of a relief because that would cause chafing. Yeah, and you know what? I have an allergy to nickel. And what if it had nickel in it? I'd have a rash everywhere.
And what if they lost the key?
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
And we could go on and on. I'm not going to ask the next question. It's okay. Kim Kardashian, we know who she is.
Yes.
Yeah.
She has a glam clause in her will. Her glam, okay. G-L-A-M, glamour, her glamour clause says... If she is ever in a position where she can't get ready herself, can't communicate, or is unconscious, someone has to make sure her nails, her hair, and her makeup are all perfect.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
Really?
I would have definitely added pedicure.
That's right. Yeah, your toes are going to be exposed. You
and
know?
Shave my legs.
There's a plethora of things you want to do.
Really, if you're going to do that, Kim, come on now. You've got to make sure you cover all bases.
Make sure you put the deodorant on. I mean,
I've got something that's really sweet. Why do we shake our heads for no and nod for yes? According to Charles Darwin, the nodding of our heads forward for yes and shaking for no comes from our infant nursing habits. When the baby nods forward, it's seeking its mother's breast, while turning its head away or to the side says it's not hungry or in need of comfort. Support from this theory comes from the fact that a baby born deaf and blind will follow the same pattern of nodding and shaking the head into adulthood.
Now, that makes perfect sense. That it does.
I thought that was rather sweet.
It is really sweet. Yeah, it is sweet. And I'm trying to remember, and it's a kind of interesting. You kind of want to go back in time and watch what your kid does when they're nursing, or even getting a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
A bottle or a bottle? Do you say bottle? You say bottle.
Sorry.
No, I don't want to go back either.
I don't want to go back that far.
That's sweet.
I'm sorry.
That's an interesting observation.
I'd like to go back for a minute or two.
A minute or two.
I'd like to go
back to times that I want to go back to.
Yeah.
And then come back here.
Yeah.
Come right back. Let's come right back.
We've talked about if we could go back in time, what era. We ever talked, what era would you choose?
Oh, my gosh.
I wouldn't choose any of it. I wouldn't. I prefer right here and now.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to take money back because it wouldn't have been invented yet, so
that's
I'd
true.
Be a very poor person.
Okay, let me ask this. What if you could visit an era for a day just to see what it was like? And then come back.
Would I take money with me?
Yes. What era?
Ooh.
What era would you visit?
Geez, that's a hard one.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just for a day.
I'm seeing like the Renaissance.
Uh-huh.
Or country.
Yes. Yes. What about you, my dear?
Oh, I don't know.
Just to visit for a day. See what it's like.
You sure I can come back?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I promise. You can come back.
Unless I meet you there and we go somewhere else.
Yeah, that's true. We could go off.
You could meet. We could all meet.
We could all meet.
Go as a party.
I think I'd want to go back to, I'd want to visit the Elizabethan era, just to, because of the clothes.
Off of their head.
Oh, well, no. Maybe I would go to a party. I would go to one of their fancy parties and see what that was all about with the beautiful dress.
With
and
the corsets. And
yeah,
the,
just
and
for a day. Yeah, suck in my gut with that corset. Pull those strings tight.
Speaking of guts,
yeah, maybe.
Did you get my message this morning about the text? Because you got rid of the cars.
I did get rid of the rest that you asked me to.
You did?
So if you all have I don't know what other phones it works on, but I have an iPhone. If you have a photograph in your photos, so Bev sent me a text with a picture, and I put it in my photos, and then if you open the photo, you can click on cleanup.
Uh-huh.
And it allows you, like, there was a car in the
uh-huh.
background.
Uh-huh.
There was also something covered with a plastic bag or something.
Right.
You click on those things, and they disappear. So I did a few little touch-ups as well.
Uh-huh.
That you probably didn't even notice.
I haven't looked yet.
And then I sent it to her, and she wrote back and asked me to take something else out. Which
wow.
I did, because you can touch and take it out, or if you see, like, if it's a picture of you and you have a pimple, you can take your finger and rub the pimple, and the pimple pops away.
If you were successful in doing what I asked, I'm going to send that picture to all my sisters and see what they say.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I sent it to you.
On your phone?
On my phone, and I know you can do this.
Is it an app?
No, it's just part of my phone.
Oh, wow.
So I know you can do this online and stuff, and there's programs, but this is really cool to just have it on your phone, and you see, I've listed houses where I've, just on my phone, taken a car out of the driveway, just boop,
yeah,
and okay. the car highlights, you just touch it, and it knows there's something there, and it outlines it, and it takes it away, and you can still
away.
See the garage door, and the,
oh my gosh,
it's really cool.
That's cool.
So that's on your iPhone, grab your iPhone.
I would like to visit Emily Dickinson.
There you go.
I do, because I love Emily Dickinson's poetry.
Well, see, when did she live?
I don't know. But she
it wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't that long ago, no.
In Amherst.
In Amherst. And I still would love to go down and see, because they have her house there and everything in Amherst. I would still love to go and visit it, but I haven't.
Did you notice that, though? How she pronounced it? What town did she live in?
Amherst.
And I said Amherst.
I say Amherst.
Oh, Amherst. No, oh. I always say the H. Amherst.
Oh, and I say Amherst.
Oh, I don't know.
I went to the UMass, so I got used to saying Amherst.
It's not Annhurst.
Amherst. But we say Amherst.
Without
we don't pronounce the H.
You don't say the H. I say the H.
Amherst.
Yeah, Amherst.
Oh, I don't think... It's wrong. I just think
I don't think it's wrong.
Yeah,
I think you're familiar with being there
Amherst.
For so long,
yeah.
It just you shorten it.
Yeah. Amherst.
Yeah. But I'd like to go and meet her.
That's
for a
not
day.
Really an era, yeah. honey.
I know that. It's this era.
All right now.
So, all right.
I have my fingers on the button.
You have your fingers on the button. I'm supposed to is it time?
No. 2 minutes.
Charm your house plants. So here's some information about your house plants. Once you pick the perfect plants, this is so cool. Before you plant your plant, put a coffee filter at the bottom.
At the bottom?
Yep. At the bottom. This will allow excess water to flow through the drainage hole while keeping the dirt where it belongs. Mix some coffee grounds into your potting soil.
Your coffee grounds, I mm-hmm. have heard. So the coffee filter and the coffee grounds.
Yep, same category. Not great. Now we're skipping to lemons.
So could that be after you drink the coffee?
Yes. Okay. Mix the grounds. You can drink your coffee. For sure. Save juiced lemon halves and put that on seedlings. Well, that makes me nervous.
Yeah.
And you can put a sponge at the bottom of the pot. It will collect the excess water that your plant and your plant can continue to drink from the sponge. Those are easy.
Mm. You can put eggshells also.
Eggshells.
The calcium.
For the calcium.
Yes.
I learned that last year about eggshells.
Yeah.
It didn't work, but anyway. Nothing works on plants with me. Nothing works for plants. I kill them all. They die.
We need to
they
do the riddle. Me. We need to do the riddle.
After the break.
Oh, we're doing a break.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Have you ever dreamed of being a radio DJ, spinning your favorite vinyl, CDs, and MP3s? Have you ever wanted to share conversations with interesting guests with the community? Then the WTBR-FM Programming Committee wants to hear from you. We are now accepting proposals for new programs. For more information, visit WTBRFM.com or call 445-4234. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
Do you have interest in amateur radio?
Are you a ham who's been inactive for a while?
We have the show for you.
Just tune in on Ham on Wednesdays.
We have guests, trivia, all the ham radio news you need, and a few surprises.
Join us live on Wednesday mornings on Ham On.
9 a.m. on WTBR-FM. Join me and Jessica for the hammiest hour on radio.
Ham On.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Half of our show. We are back for the second half of our show. And I'm Lynn.
And Bev.
And together we do this show called
Stuff.
And we have our guest Mary Hood with
Mary
us
Hood,
today,
hello.
Having fun with us. And I know that she just loves to be here. And then we have Bev, who has a container of Pringles that she has an offer to share.
Oh.
It's almost empty.
It is pressure.
And I have a riddle. No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
It's like having that last chocolate chip cookie. You just, it's just yours. And you just like, I can't. I do that with Mark. Yeah, I can't. That's my cookie. Yeah, it's a problem.
Okay.
It's all right. So here's my riddle. And I'm doing the riddle, which seems very strange because Bev's the riddle person. But she's playing along. Paul's height is 6 feet. He's an assistant at a butcher shop, and he wears size nine shoes. What does he weigh? So we're going to move along. At the end of the show, we'll have the answer. And we are talking about all kinds of different stuff.
How did the Dutch flower, the tulip, get its name?
Tulips. It only had two petals in the beginning. No, the inside has two things sticking out that look like lips. Tulips.
Nope.
Tulips.
Nope.
I would have thought that.
All right.
Holland is their cultivated home, but tulips originated in Iran.
No.
Really?
In the 16th century, tulips were introduced to Europe by the Turks, who gave them their name because the fully open flower resembles a turban. The Turks called them tolbent, a reference to the gauze used to wrap a turban. That word came to English through the French interpretation tulip, which was then anglicized to become tulip.
Tulip. So if these words changed over history, over time, will tulip be a different word in 1,000 years?
Probably.
If there's a tulip around.
Yeah,
I know. I know.
That's going to disappoint somebody.
Yeah, disappoint.
I know very much.
Very much. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Speaking of plants, this is really good.
Okay.
Especially since some of us are challenged plantly. We're plant-challenged.
Plantly-challenged.
If you have a brown thumb, the suggested plant for you is called a ZZ plant.
ZZ?
Letter Z, letter Z.
That's the least popular letter in the
This album. Is virtually indestructible. It's called a Zamacolis zamifolia, better known as the ZZ plant. It thrives in harsh conditions, and it thrives on neglect.
What does it look like?
Including low light, lack of watering. It's ideal for beginners or people who are convinced that they have a brown thumb. And I don't have a picture of it.
Does it flower?
But it's a ZZ plant.
It doesn't explain. That's not fair.
Well, if you really want a plant and you know you'll kill it, yeah, Bev is going to look that up. I'll go to another one.
Look that up.
If you have to fill a dark corner, go to a heart leaf philodendron. Heart leaf philodendron. There's a lot to love about the philodendrons, including their heart-shaped leaves. It's a low-maintenance plant. It tolerates low light and should dry out between waterings. Isn't that cool? There's hope.
But there's the mother-in-law's tongue will do the same thing.
The same thing?
I love the Diffenbachia. I love that.
Is that mother-in-law's tongue? Yes. Is this Diffenbachia?
Yeah.
No.
Diffenbachia.
Sansevieria, the mother-in-law's tongue is the wide
pink
sword-like.
It has the, that's Diffenbachia. That's what I always. Okay, but I know that plant, and I used to, the mother-in-law's tongue.
I've never heard of it.
I had that, killed it all the time.
There's one out here.
Really?
And there's the thing with the jade plant.
Yeah, but mine died. I couldn't keep it. The leaves kept turning yellow, and they kept turning yellow. Then I couldn't keep it.
Oh, she's one of those.
It says here succulents, which
now
you're talking about.
I'm a mother-in-law. I got to watch my tongue.
So that's right. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
If you sometimes forget that you even, does it flower?
No, I don't know.
So the ZZ plant is pretty.
It is pretty.
And it's available at Walmart.
How much is it?
Do you have to plant it inside or is it outside?
Inside.
Too?
I would say inside. It's
that would be great because I have no light in my
house. How much is it at Walmart?
About $12.
Oh my gosh! There you go, people.
You may have to do it online though.
A ZZ plant,
in case they don't have it in stock.
Yeah.
And it looks like, I don't know what kind of plant. It's tall and it's like a fern with fat leaves.
Are there flowers?
I don't know.
I've seen that before.
That'll do. I don't
care. A ZZ plant.
A ZZ.
If you travel a lot, it says to get a fiddle leaf fig tree.
Really?
I don't travel.
It said that it has dense foliage, it's tree like. Water once the top inch of soil. Sorry. You have to wait until the top inch of soil is dry. Well, that sounds like maintenance. Sorry. You have to check.
Yeah,
I don't
but
check. I don't
it takes a while for that to happen. The only thing with that kind of a plant, and I can tell you this by experience, don't move it. Once you have found its place, don't move it.
It says it here.
Does it?
It says, give your fiddle leaf fig a bright indirect light. An east-facing window is perfect, and leave it there.
Because when you move it, the leaves fall.
Fall off.
Yep.
I had that happen. I had a big one. I had a house with really high ceilings and a lot of light on one side, and it was gorgeous. This tree was gorgeous, and I moved it just a little ways, just across the room, and all the leaves got yellow and fell off.
Yep.
And it happened fast.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it happened really fast.
Okay.
So there you go, a ZZ plant. This is a good book.
That is a good book. It seems good anyway.
Why are... Let me see if I can find something interesting.
You always find things that are interesting.
Oh, no.
Always. Oh, are you...
How did the Wizard of Oz get its name?
Because the town was Oz. I'd like to go there. And the people were Ozettes and Ozettes.
She's he wants nice to try. Go there.
Nice try.
That's
nice
the try. Era. That's the
oh,
era.
Enjoy the
I
tornado.
Would like to visit.
The classic tale of Dorothy and the Land of Oz came from the imagination of Frank L. Baum, or L. Frank Baum, who made up the story for his son and a group of children in 1899. When a little girl asked him the name of this magical land with a scarecrow, tin man, and cowardly lion, he looked around the room for inspiration. He happened to be sitting next to a filing cabinet with the drawers labeled A-G, H-N, and then finally O-Z.
O to Z.
Which gave him an answer.
Oh, my gosh.
That's interesting.
No thought at all.
No.
There are people that sit around conference room tables, 20 people, in a high-rise office somewhere that spend days trying to figure out stuff like that to do, and this man just looks over. It's like, it's so cool.
Yeah.
You know, do you get what I'm talking about?
Oh, I gotcha, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, I love this little book. This is the greatest little book. Paint a room in a day. I can paint a room in a day. Doesn't come out very good, but I can paint a room in a day. So the last letter added to the English alphabet was J.
Oh.
The letter dates back to 1524. And before that, the last letter was I. And the I was used for the I sound and then the J sound in the 1500s. Isn't that strange?
So it wasn't all made at one time. They just kept adding to the alphabet?
I'd need to know more about...
Oh, I'm sorry.
I would have to know...
I'm sorry. I don't know where I am.
More about that. That's confusing.
It is a little.
I don't know that I... Marie!
You're the one with all the answers.
I don't know that... I'd have to know a lot more about that. A lot more.
Al Jolson sang about it, and Stephen Foster and Ira Gershwin wrote popular songs about it. So where is the Suwannee River?
Tennessee?
Where does the Suwannee River... Far, far away. It's far, far from home.
Far, far from home.
In the first draft of his 1851 song, The Old Folks at Home, Stephen Foster's river was the Petey. But that didn't work, so he searched in an atlas and found the Suwannee River, which he shortened to Suwannee. In 1919, Gershwin and Irving Caesar reused the name in the Jolson classic and made the Suwannee the most famous river that never existed.
It never existed.
It's because he took a river in... Where did he say here now? We're shortened to Suwannee. He went to an atlas and found the Suwannee River.
Suwannee.
And then he just shortened it to Suwannee.
Suwannee, so there's no such thing.
There's no river.
Our very good friends in Tennessee live in Suwannee, Tennessee.
You're right.
Well, there's
in
a
the
town.
United States.
I wonder
of America.
If there's a river there.
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
You're gonna have to find out now.
Yeah, I wonder if there is. And they say Suwannee. They don't say Suwannee. They say Suwannee.
Suwannee.
So maybe it's from the original.
That's interesting.
Suwannee.
That's very interesting.
So maybe it's in Tennessee.
Maybe. There's another thing that just pops up without any meetings or, you know what I mean? You ever hear the thing about the truck that goes underneath the bridge and gets stuck?
Yeah.
The height of the truck was too high and it gets wedged.
Yeah.
And they can't get the truck out.
Sure.
And they've got engineers coming and professionals and all these people coming and for hours and hours and hours could not figure out how to get the truck out of there. They were going to remove the bridge.
Yeah.
And this little boy comes and says,
let the air out of the tires.
Let the air out of the tires. Yeah.
Sometimes you have to step back.
Sometimes. Sometimes you have to ask a kid.
Right?
I love those.
Yeah.
Okay.
An ostrich's eye is bigger than its brain.
Holy moly.
Yep. I dated a guy named Ostrich.
You did not.
It could be the slug. No, I'm sorry. That was the last.
Yeah,
show.
They were brothers. This could be why the birds often run around in circles when they try to escape predators.
The birds run around in circles?
I don't know. They're fast, though, right?
Yeah.
They're fast.
Their eye is trying to keep up on their brain. Their brain is
really.
Here's another one that goes along with what you're talking about. Have you ever wondered how Cinderella could have walked in a glass slipper?
Yes, I have wondered. I've actually stayed up at night wondering where I can get those shoes.
The story of Cinderella was passed along orally for centuries before it was written down by Charles Perrault in 1697. While doing so, he mistook the word vair, V-A-I-R, meaning ermine, for the word ver, V-E-R-R-E, meaning glass. By the time he realized his mistake, the story had become too popular to change, and so became, instead of an ermine slipper, she wore glass.
What's an ermine?
Ermine is an animal.
Fur.
That's a fur.
It's a fur?
It's a fur.
Fur. The fur's
ermine. But the glass slipper worked
but
out
it went
perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in that beautiful gown and an ermine slipper. That's like wearing clogs with a tuxedo.
The glass. Let's just keep the glass.
Love that story. I don't think a lot of people like that story anymore.
I don't think they like it
so
either.
Japan, so do you all like Kit Kats? Kit Kat bars?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
You break them apart?
Yes,
me
I
too.
Do.
Guess what? Japan has 200 flavors of Kit Kats.
What?
Yeah. They're exclusively created for different regions, cities, and seasons. There are some tasty-sounding ones like banana, blueberry cheesecake.
Yeah, but then it wouldn't be a Kit Kat.
Oreo ice cream, as well as some very questionable flavors like baked potato, melon and cheese, wasabi, and vegetable juice.
Wasabi?
In Japan.
Vegetable juice?
With chocolate?
In Japan. Now, they made a Halloween Kit Kat that was orange, but it was chocolate. They made it orange, but it was chocolate. I don't know how they did that. Well, they probably made white chocolate and dyed it with orange, but white chocolate isn't even chocolate.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
I understand that.
Yeah. But wasabi? Oh, we have another visitor.
There she is.
Patty.
She's going to tell us something about a program.
She's going to tell us something about her zucchini.
Yes.
Ah, we're almost done.
We're
How many
almost
minutes do
done.
We have?
It is, we have about 10 minutes.
All righty. All right. Hello, hello, hello. We talked about your zucchini, your very first zucchini that you...
A baby zucchini.
She's so excited. And she was going to give it away. It is cold in here.
It is. It's
freezing. She was going to give it
hug.
Away.
Hug you.
Yes. Oh, she wants to hug. So here we are. We're having a wonderful time. This is, here you go. We're having a wonderful time here, Bev.
If I had known she had that, I'd know. You had that, don't you?
Why is the energy from a car's engine referred to as horsepower?
What? What? Why?
Why is the energy from a car's engine referred to as horsepower?
Did it have something to do with because before cars there was horses?
Horses. Because of the methane that comes out of the horse's butt. That's it. Is it?
When Scottish inventor James Watt received a patent for on his steam engine in 1755, horses were being used to draw coal to a mine's surface. After calculating that one horse had the power to haul 330 pounds, 100 feet in 1 minute, He proved that one steam engine could replace an entire herd of horses.
Aww.
This made Watt wealthy and gave us a formula to interpret engine capacity in horsepower.
Horsepower. Wow. So then all those horses were out of a job.
Yep.
They had nothing to do.
But they worked in the mines.
So horse lovers would say, yes, get them back out into the fields and the meadows and the mountains. And
have you ever eaten horse?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. No, never.
No, you can't eat horse.
No.
Yes, you can.
No.
They eat horses?
No. It's edible.
No.
No.
I've never tried it, never will. But
no. That's just horse wrong.
Horse tail soup.
Yeah, no.
Horse tail soup.
Ketchup.
Horse tail soup.
Ketchup.
No.
I like ketchup.
Yeah.
Ketchup. I love it. Was once sold as medicine.
Ketchup?
Ketchup.
What did it cure?
Prostate.
What did you say?
Yeah.
Well, because tomatoes are good for prostate.
Oh, prostate. So tomatoes are good for prostates.
Oh.
So, let's see. The condiment was prescribed and sold to people suffering from indigestion. Well, wait a minute. Ketchup would give me heartburn.
Yeah.
Ketchup never gave me heartburn.
No, this was in 1834, so they probably realized that it doesn't really work. It doesn't really work.
How long was the last time you saw a station wagon?
Oh, my gosh.
A station wagon.
With the wood on the side?
Or not. I mean, not all station wagons had wood on the side.
No, probably in the... I owned one. Oh,
we
in the
one.
80s.
Oh, my mother
owned one. Did you ever ride one?
Yeah.
I owned one.
My mother had one. I mean, we had station wagon. Underwood. Yeah,
with
Underwood.
The wood
Underwood station
with
wagon.
With the woods on the side.
Yeah.
Underwood. It says here that a station wagon was originally a horse-drawn carriage. The name transferred to cars in 1904. In 1929, the first modern station wagon was manufactured. It referred to a car big enough to haul people and luggage to and from the railway stations.
Mm.
Prior to the 1930s, most automobile makers used hardwoods to frame the passenger compartments of their vehicles. But when steel took over, designers extended a wood panel finish to the exterior. These became the classic station wagons. They grew in popularity, blah, 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 blah. But they were replaced by minivans or sports utility vehicles during the 1980s and 1990s.
Yeah.
So we're still young enough to have had station wagons, but kids born after 1990.
They never.
And they never knew what it was like to just pile into the back of a station wagon and drive across country with no seat belts,
no
seats.
Yep.
Just climb back there.
We sat on the tail. It would just bring down the tailgate. We sat on the tailgate.
On the tailgate?
While it was moving?
On the outside?
Yeah, on the back roads. On the back road. Not on the highway or anything, but on the back roads. Oh, yeah. My mother had a bread route, and we used to sit there, and we'd jump off and deliver the bread for her. And
oh, my gosh.
And sit on the tail.
Oh, my gosh.
Sit on the tail.
Well, nobody cared.
Oh, yeah. No.
Nobody cared. We didn't have seatbelts.
No.
This was a lot different.
Yeah, that was the
mother putting her arm out.
And
on
isn't
you.
It funny that we both said we're both thinking mother.
Mother said it. Mother said it.
No,
yeah.
No one else said it. Mother said
mother
did it.
Because mother cared.
Yeah, no one else.
Well, now we come back to this very important riddle.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Paul's height is 6 feet. He's an assistant at a butcher shop and wears size 9 shoes. What does he weigh?
You ready? One, two, three.
Meat.
Yes. It is meat. That wasn't the hardest one that we've ever done.
No.
But it was... When you cover for someone, you don't necessarily do it very well.
That's right.
That's the end of our show. I want to say bye, Mary. Bye, Patty. Bye, Bev.
Bye.
Bye, Birdie.
Oh, my
you have fun?
Did you have fun?
Oh, I'm glad.
The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts and not those of PCTV or WTBR.
Oh, have Patty do the number written.
Wait a minute. I can't.